Okay, and we're back here at CGLO, busy wrestling with a suddenly recalcitrant computer. And we're sorry about that. We're sorry about the delay for the little commercials. Yale, do you want to sit in and say hello?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Come in and say hi.
Well, good morning, Carl and crew. How's everyone doing this morning?
We're pretty good. How are you? Yale's the host of the show that follows Liberty in Exile, which starts at 10 o'clock. And runs to 11. And what's your show about this morning?
Well, this morning we're going to be talking about the large tax burdens that will be coming upon all the generations of the future. That will be myself, all my brethren, all those that shall follow me. We will be paying massive taxes over and over again. Everyone will be following the same regime as Quebec has with its brand new budget.
Okay, now, I've long been a believer in deficit spending, and you can eventually catch up, particularly with the large amounts of money that make their way to the governments. The great example, of course, was Clinton implementing pay-as-you-go for all of 4 years and turning massive deficits into surpluses. Mm-hmm. Why do you feel we can't do this now?
Well, now we're committing way too much money. Now there are more people who will be receiving benefits from Social Security or Medicare, be it whatever it is, and there are going to be less people paying. So basically, we're just at a stage where maybe we put $10 in the pot, but they're constantly grabbing for $20, and it's continuing and continuing. And now we have the baby boomer generation that's pulling that pension money out, and there's not enough of us to pay for it. It's not sustainable.
Well, now, there are all kinds of movements, actually, to draw back and draw down on Social Security, as well as move the retirement date past 65. Now, what you do have is a lot of baby boomers, but those same baby boomers have been paying into those pension funds since they were 16.
That's very true. For me, it's not a moral issue. It's not that they don't deserve the money, the pensions that they will be getting. It's just that, frankly, we don't have the money for it. We cannot afford it. We can't afford all these social programs and everything that we pay
for.
Wait a second.
If you've been paying into a fund since you were 16 and you were 65, how can you say you can't afford it? That money's been busy being invested and collecting interest. That money is out there.
Oh, it's out there, but it's in Afghanistan. It's in Iraq. It's been spent on all these huge foreign expenditures. We built embassies all over the world. Canada's the same thing. Spend $1 billion here, $1 billion there. I mean, we're spending all this money. It's never held accountable.
But that's not their fault, the people who paid into it.
I
understand that, but I have to be that, you know, the economic voice. And all the economists are saying the same thing. They're saying it's not sustainable. We don't have the money for it.
Actually, that's not true that all the economists are saying the same thing. There are a broad
range. Which economist are you listening to?
Well, look, we're not going to get into a fight about Paul Krugman, okay? Mm. It's as simple as that. I've read the libertarian literature on Paul Krugman and nearly lost my, as they say, stuff, to be polite. But there is not just Paul Krugman out there. There are a broad range of economists saying very different things. And if ever there was an inexact science, it's the science of international economics.
Yeah, these are the same economists who said, you know, the stimulus packages would work and we just spend all this money, all this liquidity, and
Actually, the stimulus packages did prevent a complete meltdown. And the thing is those stimulus packages were not large enough, particularly south of the border, where they kept trying to make deals with the Republicans so that they could get them on board. They needed larger packages and packages more interested in creating jobs as opposed to just preventing the meltdown and the saving of a bunch of bankers.
Now, that's a flawed vision of economics. That's John Maynard Keynes. That's the old economics. That's what we've been using since World War II.
And yet, you take a look at what Clinton did in 4 short years mm-hmm. by instituting simple pay-as-you-go policies. At the end of his term, he not only had a budget surplus, there were projected surpluses to the equivalent of $5 trillion for the next 10 years, completely turned around by Bush. $5 trillion. Now we're looking ahead 10 years, and the deficit is $8 trillion, right? This is what you're talking about?
Yeah, that's very true. But Carl, I'm very surprised you're coming out on this side of the issue. This is something where I thought we'd be in agreement, because all this public money went to private interest, went to these banks, over $14 trillion from the global market, just like this.
I'm not happy where it went. I believe that it should have been spent. I disagree with where it went, right? I think it should have gone to jobs. I don't believe that too big to fail should exist. If you're going to have a free market system, if you're going to have capitalism, you can't be too big to fail. Sorry. See ya. You screwed up, and that's the check and the balance for the free market system.
Exactly. That's why all these car corporations should not have gotten any money. Any of these money market funds should not have gotten any money. All these companies, all these AIG, Goldman Sachs, they just delve in money. That's all they do. They shouldn't exist.
In between the two generations, between Carl's and between yours, look, I'll take responsibility partially. Part of the reason that we can't afford the taxes is because we've been too complacent in supporting local economy. We've been too comfortable allowing guys like Walmart and big guys to come in and import. I mean, and like, isn't that the first rule of economics? The moment you're importing more than you're exporting, that's when your economy is in trouble. The problem is that we don't produce anymore. North America does not produce. Of course we can't pay. Of course we need handouts. Of course we need financial support from the government, because we're too busy living a complacent life of wanting everything from Dollarama and thinking there's no consequence. I mean, the number of times I hear parents complain about, oh, my kid can't get a job. It's like, yeah, your kid can't get a job because you buy everything from the third world, and then you have the nerve to complain that your son can't get a job. Well, your son can only get a job in a phone room because you've been making those choices to only support that kind of an economy.
That's very true.
When we take responsibility here and support our own economy, support local, and start looking into manufacturing jobs, that's when there'll be enough people. That's when not only will we have a surplus of taxes, that's when we'll be begging for immigrants to come back to help us with all these jobs that nobody wants.
Okay. Now, we're actually just getting to an interesting place.
Yes.
We pretty much have to wrap. This is unfortunate you didn't come in 15 minutes earlier. Yale. And as far as globalization goes, you're right. It is because of globalization. And I've always thought that globalization was a good thing if everyone was on equal footing,
indeed,
if everyone was getting a fair wage, which clearly everyone is not, which is what you're talking about. I'm sorry that we have to go. Thanks for coming in and actually just lighten it right up.
Oh, no problem. No problem.
Peter, thanks for coming in this morning.
My pleasure.
Much appreciated. You've been listening to New Media and Politics. We want to thank you for listening all week. Well, we can pick this up next week if you like, you know, and we can discuss. And if you want to listen to what Yale has to say, stay tuned to Liberty in Exile, and he'll explain his point of view in further detail with none of us to rebut or to counter.
Expect me to be the belligerent caller.
There we go.
So, yeah, we're here Monday to Friday, 8 to 10. We want to thank you for listening. We hope you have a terrific week. Remember, I blog all of this at cglo.com. Click my time slot. You can email me at oldpunk@cglo.com. Hope you have a terrific weekend. There's sunshine scheduled to show up tomorrow. And hope it all goes your way, everybody. Here's a nice little number to play out on, and we hope this work goes for you, too. This is Mojo. Hope you get yours.
For real, it's Mojo. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Let's get some drinks, says with a grin. Before you know it, you're 6 rounds in. Come on, you guys, calling a cab. Your sauna's ahead, lights up a fag. Hurry up, guys, we're missing the show. There's a party downtown, come on, let's go now. Mojo, he's got a take, set by the gods on a bus from Brazil. Now Mojo, not for sale, coolest cat east of Hotel DeVille. Now Mojo, no time to lose now, we're drinking red wine. Some chick gets crazy, more handles it fine. Picks up the bill, draws another line, and off we go for another time. 40 below, but I feel fine. Maybe it's 'cause I'm spending time with Mojo. He's got a tape sent by the gods on a bus from Brazil. Now Mojo is not for sale. Coolest cat east of Hotel DeVille. Now Mojo. This place sits a hole in the wall. Everyone's on fire, Mo's dancing in the hall. Reality belongs in another place. Here, no rules of time and space. I look for him, I ask him the time. He winks at me, draws another line. Now Mojo, he's got a tape sent by the gods on a bus from Brazil. Now Mojo, not for sale.